Okay, I'm pleased to have the opportunity to provide this presentation today that is really work that an analysis that's been done by my one of my doctoral students, the second author here of the presentation, but he'll be the first author of the publication that comes out of this. I'll move to the last author position. Does migration to smaller tumor size for localized lung adenocarcinomas predict improved lung cancer-specific survival? My co-authors then are Liang Ji, one of my best doctoral students. Mark Gamsery is a senior statistician at Loma Linda University. Carolina Magana was one of my MPH students in epidemiology. And Reinhard Schulte is a radiologist. In 2013, the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force recommended annual low-dose spiro CT screening for non-small cell lung cancers among patients 55 to 80 that had a long history of heavy smoking, and it produced a fairly meager protective effect, a hazard ratio of 0.80, but it's statistically significant. And what this led to is a grade B level recommendation for spiro CT screening, low dose spiro CT screening for non-small cell lung cancer with a high certainty of moderate benefit or a moderate certainty of high benefit. This makes it reimbursable by health insurance under the Affordable Care Act. Lung adenocarcinoma arises in the glandular lung periphery. It frequently presents as grape clusters. We're looking at early stage localized lung adenocarcinoma, where it would be one or two of those grape clusters in this study. So we got the idea that if screening with low-dose CT has reduced, has improved survival for non-small cell lung cancers, perhaps the clinical use of spiro CT screening, which has become quite popular, has led to earlier diagnosis and improved survival for non-small cell lung cancers also. And we specifically focused on lung adenocarcinoma, the glandular lung cancer. It's a little bit slower growing than the other lung cancer types, and so that would maximize the benefit that we might see from this. This research sought to first assess whether migration to smaller tumor size at diagnosis occurred for localized lung adenocarcinomas during recent decades. And second, to determine whether small versus large tumor size at diagnosis independently predicted survival differences for localized lung adenocarcinoma. Here we used sequence 01s and 00s. These are where lung cancer is the first of more than one cancer or the only cancer that a patient was diagnosed with. N0, so this is lymph node 0, M0, no metastases. Lung adenocarcinoma is diagnosed among California residents from 1990 through 2012 that were less than 33 millimeters in longest diameter, assessing tumor size, year, and age at diagnosis. Other covariates included sex, race, ethnicity, a socioeconomic status index. It's a community index. It's ecologic. It's based on the census block group level. Marital status, lung cancer-specific mortality, and vital status. Multiple logistic regression was used to assess odds of large versus small tumor size at diagnosis in AIM-1. And Cox proportional hazard was used to assess lung cancer-specific mortality for small versus large tumor size at diagnosis in AIM-2. This is what the data looked like, and we were disappointed when we saw this, and we weren't sure that we could use these data. That this is the tumor size at diagnosis in millimeters of tumor size, and after studying it for a few minutes, we realized that there's a very clear pattern that jumps out at you, and that's a digit preference for fives and tens. And at this point, we said, well, what does this mean? It means that radiologists don't really measure these. They estimate the size. And so we talked to some radiologists about this, and they were reluctant to say that they don't measure them. But when we looked at the guidelines for clinical trials, the clinical trials specify that they must measure them. And our view is that they wouldn't so strongly make that specification if they were naturally going to measure them. What we did is we formed these into groups so that we could use them into six groups. And the first group is kind of odd, but it doesn't have very many cases in it anyway. The next group is two before the digit preference and two after throughout the range. And this is why we went up to 32 millimeters in size, less than 33, higher than what the normal staging variable would be at 30 millimeters in size. So six groups. When we, for 1990 through 2012, this is what the distribution of those six groups looked like, and our plan was to divide these into two categories, small and large. And this is what the data look like over time for these groups, and it's a little bit hard to relate those colors to the colors in the legend to the colors in the figure. So we put numbers with them. They're ranging from at the bottom smallest size at diagnosis to six is the largest size at diagnosis. And when we looked at these, what we saw is not a lot happening from 1990 through 2003, but marked change from 2004 through 2012. When we separate these into the two categories, the large size on the bottom, the small size on the bottom, and the large size on the top, what we saw is a suggestion of a downward trend for the early time period, but clearly an upward trend in the proportion of cases that were small size at diagnosis compared to large size at diagnosis for 2004 through 2012. So at this point, we changed our time period of interest to 2004 through 2012. The data look very similar for this time period. The sample size is much smaller. It's 5,000 cases now, but it's very similar in this pattern. And when we separate these into two groups, it's closer to 50-50. A little bit larger proportion is the larger size at diagnosis. The large size is 18 through 32 millimeters in longest diameter at diagnosis. The small is 1 to 17 millimeters in largest diameter. For this time period, 2004 through 2012, then we see the same trend. It's the trend that we showed on the previous slide for an increase in the proportion of cases that are the small size, 1 to 17 millimeters in longest diameter, a decline in the proportion that are the large size, 18 to 32 millimeters in longest diameter. So we spent a lot of time doing that graphic to give the impression of that change. Adjusting for the effects of age at diagnosis, sex, race, ethnicity, socioeconomic status, and marital status produced the following results. And what we see is that we've seen it in the crude analysis in the figure, but now we see it in the adjusted analysis, this striking trend for odds of large to small size at diagnosis. Did I say that right, odds? Yeah, odds of large versus small size at diagnosis is highly statistically significant. And so this is the basis for the foundation for the more advanced analysis of where we look at a survival difference in specific aim 2. So here we've looked at the adjusted Cox proportional hazards for small versus large size at diagnosis. And this is also using a sub-distribution mortality hazards ratio to adjust for competing causes of death. And we get a hazards ratio of 0.68. This is quite exciting. This is stronger than what the clinical trials showed. They're looking at something a bit different. They're looking at low-dose spiro CT compared to chest X-ray. We're looking at small size compared to large size that spiro CT can pick up. The small size. So we We saw a protective effect that's about a third reduction in mortality hazards, adjusting for competing causes of death, age, sex, race, ethnicity, socioeconomic status, marital status. And we used methods described by Cole et al. For this subdistribution analysis. When you look at the difference in the size of the tumors, the average for the groups that we looked at, we thought about what we could use to represent this. The small tumor size is about like the diameter of a dime. The average for the large tumor size is about like the diameter of a quarter. And that difference is about 40%, the difference in diameter. But tumors aren't two-dimensional, they're three-dimensional. So if you think of these as spheres, we went back to an equation that we all learned in fifth grade, and I haven't used much since then, but we had a need for it now. There's actually a 2.2 times increase in volume for a tumor the size of a quarter compared to a tumor the size of a dime. And tumors are three-dimensional. We think this is a better model for looking at this. We found a manuscript that a recent paper that looked at lung adenocarcinoma doubling time for tumors that were 10 millimeter in diameter, the doubling time for that, and this is the volume doubling time, was 140 days. And so we used that information then to adjust for lead time bias in our study. We've got 140 days. You know, lead time bias is the risk misrepresentation of early diagnosis of cancer as improved survival. So good grief, Charlie Brown. What do we do about lead time bias in this? And we've got this information from this paper. We repeated the original analysis, adding 140 days to the estimated lead time, adding 140 days to the date of diagnosis for the small size cancers. Now, this is a crude way to adjust for lead time bias, but we think that it's reasonable. And what do we get? We get just about the same result. And this is the result that's substantially independent of confounding by age, sex, race, ethnicity, socioeconomic status, marital status, competing causes of death, and our crude method of adjusting for lead time bias. About a one-third reduction, reduction in mortality, improvement in survival over this time period. Our findings reveal a net migration from large diameter size at diagnosis to small size for localized lung adenocarcinomas in California for 2004 through 2012. Our findings reveal approximately one-third improved lung cancer-specific survival among lung adenocarcinoma patients diagnosed with cancer that were 1 to 17 versus 18 to 32 millimeters in longest diameter at diagnosis. Our other analyses are ongoing as these preliminary findings are developed into a manuscript, and that'll be led by my doctoral student, Liang Ji. I'd like to thank cancer registrars and other hospital and regional registry staff that ensured the availability of high-quality data necessary to conduct this research. Together, we are winning the war on cancer. So if this slide confuses you, I have to explain, these are California nuns. Questions? Yes, ma'am.
Was your original plan to categorize tumor size based on small and large, or were you sort of forced into that based on the radiologist?
No, we originally planned to categorize them into large and small, but this is kind of a new area where there was not a lot of literature and we didn't have a great understanding, so we wanted to look at it in smaller categories before we formed the two categories. So we felt comfortable that the two categories are legitimate. Hey, thank you very much.
One more question.
Oh, I'll take the nuns away. Yeah, the screening low-dose Spiro CT has not been very popular, and so we don't think it's affecting these results very much. These we think are largely, and I can't give you a percentage for that, but substantially we think that they're diagnostic CT imaging, which can image tumors about the size of a dime, where other methods are going to require a larger size, about the size of a quarter. But that's speculation on our part. We don't have a lot of data to support that. Yes.
So it's the improvement in diagnostic capability.
That's what we think.
Driving this stage migration.
That's what we think. The piece that we have not done on this paper, or the large piece that we haven't done, is thorough review of the literature, looking at the imaging changes that have occurred over time. And what happens with that is that progressive hospitals get better imaging equipment early, and the hospitals that don't have luxurious budgets get it later. But the quality of the technology is better later. So those institutions that got the good equipment early on, they end up updating their equipment again later. And we need to understand that fully and describe it as part of the paper. Thank you.